Hi folks, it's Pilgrim Chris here. And as you can see from the title of this boo, if you're listening to this boo, it's really a response boo to Black 73 Cat. My previous response to Black 73 Cat was in DM. And as you, if you listen to his latest boo, which I'll put at the bottom of this boo on Audio Boo FM, he acknowledges that I did DM him and has wanted to take some of the points public. That's fine, Graham. I would just like to share a lesson that I learnt here from the very kind community on Audio Boo. The lesson I learnt is if we're going to reveal or talk about a DM boo in public, it's probably courteous to ask the person who DM'd us if it's okay to share that content in the public forum. This is for obvious reasons, really. Somebody might DM you and they want, the reason they DM'd you is because it's private between you and that person. So to then reveal that content in public is sort of betraying a bit of a trust. And the way around that, of course, is to ask the person first privately, would it be okay to talk about certain points of your DM in public? I'm not saying this as a criticism, I'm just saying it as a lesson that I've learned. I was guilty of the same thing, so I'm talking from experience, and I just wanted to share that point with you first. However, I don't have any problems with any of my DM boos being made public, because I don't say anything in DM that I wouldn't want out in the public domain. I only say them in DM because it's relevant to that person in particular and not necessarily relevant to everyone else. However, as this has now gone public, my response to your latest boo, Black 73 Cat, will be public. And I will just pick up on a couple of points, really. The first one is the sweeping statement that 98% of wars are caused by religion. Well, I think you can see where I'm going to go with this one. I could keep it long, but I'll keep it short. You say you believe in science and science is the answer. Could you please give me the scientific data that proves this as fact, that 98% of wars are caused by religion? I'm not looking for stats here. Stats can be made up by anyone. I'm looking for the scientific data behind the statement, really. And I'll keep it that short. We can look at the other aspects, really, of religion. For example, CAFOD being in Haiti before any other organisation, helping fellow mankind with money given by donations from other people of faith and people of no faith too. It's an organisation supported by all denominations of religion and none, helping human beings in the name of religion, in the name of faith. I won't give any stats for it because it's not relevant. The point I'm trying to make is sweeping statements are not generally scientific. And as you said, you're a man who believes in science. Either the data to prove your point or, you know, we'll just let that one go. Songs in schools. The issue you seem to have is your child singing a religious song in school and taking this as that this is, means that your child is being taught religiously, in the sense of being taught a faith. We all sang songs in schools for one reason. The country's a Christian country, and the principles of our our legal system are based on religious laws. Our calendar is based on the death of Christ. Our daily calendar, if you like, is based on the Norse gods, so there's a mismatch there, but based on religion, if you like. And that's the reason behind the tradition of it. It isn't about teaching children faith or teaching them religiously. It's part and parcel of the system at the moment. That may change, and I don't mind if it does personally. I do like the fact that children sing songs together. I think it encourages lots of things. It encourages community. It encourages the more shy child to join in because they can sing and not be stared at. It's inclusive. Singing songs is inclusive. And I would argue that the songs they're singing are possibly better than a lot of other songs they could be singing. At least the message of the songs are generally for the betterment and betterment of mankind, if you like, to live in harmony with mankind, to show that the world can be a wonderful place. I would rather them be singing those kind of songs, and my children don't go to church and I don't force them into that at all. Their mother is not a religious woman. But even my ex-wife, who has no faith like yourself, would rather the children be singing that kind of song that instills a sense of well-being than singing the songs that are in the charts by most of the popular artists today who are singing about the glorification of money, sex, drugs and violence. These songs are going to be sung in the playground by the children after assembly, so I shouldn't worry too much about them being influenced or taught religiously. I would more argue that they will probably be getting more influence from the pop charts than the odd song sung in assembly for 5 minutes. As a child, I knew that was certainly the way with me. The song was sung without really too much thought, and then you go and do your own thing. You go and beat up the local kid, or you get bullied if you're that way. I was bullied. Or you get on with your mates, or whatever it is that you do. The song itself at 5 minutes in assembly is the last thing you think about for the rest of the day. But what it does do is it seeps in and helps to give a moral code that is lacking in most formats today. Other songs don't often offer morality. TV shows don't offer morality in general. And so where are they going to get this idea of harmonious living from? 2 minute song that might help that, I can't really argue with. But that's my own thoughts there. And then we come on to the idea that you say that science is your answer to everything, and that science, not religion, is the way forward. Well, I agree. We can only get our answers to the physical world through science. We can't get our answers to faith and why people have faith through the scientific world, of course. And to dismiss the vast population of the planet who have a faith of some sort by the minority of the planet that don't have a faith of some sort is rather, certainly not fair, is it? But if I give you a couple of examples here, Graham, you're talking about science and exclusively of faith. Have you heard now, what's his name? I've got it down somewhere. Copernicus. Nicholas Copernicus, Polish astronomer who put forward the first mathematically based system of planets going around the sun. Well, he was a Catholic all his life and became a canon of the Catholic Church in 1497. You've probably heard of Sir Francis Bacon, the philosopher who is known for establishing the scientific method of inquiry based upon experimentation and inclusive reasoning. Well, he was a Catholic all through his life. And he established his goals as being the discovery of truth first, service to his country, and service to the church. Johannes Kepler, the mathematician and astronomer who did early work on light and established the laws of planetary motion about the sun. He was a Lutheran. He also came close to the Newtonian concept of universal gravity before Newton was born. There are many others, such as Descartes, Pascal, Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, Michael Faraday, all people who were deeply religious and yet discovered some fundamental philosophies that we still use to this day and still base our scientific principles upon. Gregor Mendel was the first to lay the mathematical foundation of genetics. He was a monk at the time and in fact stayed a monk until he died. Kelvin, a man of faith. Bringing up to sort of a more modern age, quantum theory, put forward by Max Planck. He was a church warden until his death. And let's not forget our old favourite, Albert Einstein. Although he didn't believe in a personal God, said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." These people, these great scientists that you aspire to, you respect, who have brought mathematical foundations that we still base upon, philosophers that we still base reasoning on, etc., were all men of faith. And all had the same idea that they were driven to their science by their faith, because they sought answers for their faith and sought it through science. It's only with the combination of the two, or at least for these people, it was only with the combination of the two that their discoveries were made. It was their faith that drove them to find the answers, to discover these theories. Of course, there are other scientists who don't have a faith, most notably today Richard Dawkins, a fantastic scientist who unfortunately over recent years has lost quite a bit of credibility in the scientific community because of his rants against faith, his prejudices. And this is the problem, prejudice. I personally believe we should keep our prejudices very much to ourselves. Richard Dawkins is learning that lesson all the time. He'll be the first to admit that if he could have started again, he wouldn't have gone down the route of slating religion. It's out of his remit. Christopher Hitchens, who recently passed away, was another notable scientist who condemned religion publicly. Of course, this works true in other ways. Throughout history, we've had people of church condemning scientists. It doesn't mean it's right. It's prejudice, bigotry. These should be kept within ourselves and fought against at every step, not passed on to our children, not shared in the public domain as a answer. Whatever reasons I have my faith and whatever reasons you don't have a faith are not reasons for us not to be friends, not for reasons for people to get along, not reasons for us to pursue science. These are our own beliefs. It is no more my duty to convert you than it is your duty to convert me, my duty to convert my children, or your duty to convert your children to your beliefs or my beliefs, etc. My own children, as I've mentioned, are brought up with a person of faith, me, and their mother who has no faith. My children ask questions all the time of God. These questions aren't inspired by me. These are questions that are coming through in life. But they also ask me other questions about sex, drugs, violence, bullying. What I do is I don't put my own personal beliefs forward here. I try to give a reasoned answer. And this is the point. It's to do with reasoning, not bigotry, not prejudice. Whatever our own personal experiences in life, we have to try not to pass those on to our children in a negative light. If we bring up our children with our own belief systems to the exclusion of all others, our children will be stunted and will become even more bigoted than we are. Allowing our children access to all information, all walks of life, is the way forward. And you did mention this in your book. You did mention that you have no problems with children being taught about religions. Your caveat or your question, of course, was they should be taught about it to show because of the violence that religion causes. But of course, as I've already mentioned at the same time, you know, you could perhaps talk to them and accept that religion also plays a large good in society too. It's a balance, always. Bigotry and prejudices exclude balance, deny growth, stunt capabilities. They become an anger, a cancer within us. And if we're not careful, that cancer can spread from us to others. I myself have my own issues in life. I, like you, boo, and I welcome responses. I'm being taught so much, I have a few people DMing me, and I don't mention their names. We've established that these DMs are DMs. I can say the fact that I have them, but I wouldn't want to share those because these are personal conversations. I'm learning, I'm growing, and people are also learning from me too. And that's the point, being open, letting our children be open. Let's not be afraid of what hurt us hurting our children. Our children are going to be hurt as they grow up. We cannot protect them from that. But what we can protect them from is ignorance. Thanks for listening. And as always, have a great day. And if applicable, may God bless you.